Lavelle. Thank you, Lavelle, for your help. I was getting there. Always good to have a lady in studio, just keep us entertained, from Rotary, and we're here to unpack or digest the K2C cycle race. Welcome, Tony and Lavelle. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
So, this 2024 K2C cycle race, tell me how it was for you guys and unpack it a little bit. I gave a big story when I came back the following day, but that was my version of it. Let's hear it from a Rotary perspective level in terms of the race.
Okay, well, I mean, my participation is right from the beginning, doing the posters and the marketing and getting all the gear going, working with Warren, Carrie, and getting all the designs done, and then doing the goodie bags, and then on the day, obviously, lots of bits and pieces. But I mean, Tony's the one who really does all the hard work getting all the bookings, so I'll hand over to him.
Yeah, I think just before we get to Tony, I mean, just a little bit about the race. How many entries did we have in the end there?
We had 93, I think.
So 93. So we were still that seven short that we'd done there. So 93 entries on the day,
yes.
And did all 93 people finish?
Everybody
not everybody go. Competed yeah. the full distance, but everybody was there at the finish.
And finish, okay. So
they all do the last little bit as they
yeah,
come down.
Yeah, they all come
the
down
drums.
that long thing, yeah. And I'll tell you a little bit my thoughts, but Tony, a little bit about it from your side.
It was just amazing. I mean, the weather played its part. The wind stayed away. People really enjoyed themselves. I mean, I participated myself. Not that it was a great event. And the feedback we got echoed that sentiment.
Yeah, I must say, from my side, I just thought it was such a well-organized event from start to finish. And what got me was the camaraderie amongst everybody and the fact that it's not a race. You know, no one's out there to win. And I think that's one of the big
yes.
big part of it. I mean, it's amazing.
That's why it can encompass people who don't race. And it's a very nice corporate event because people, they buy X number of places, and then they have customers or family or whatever participating, and that's what I think brings the camaraderie to the whole thing.
Yeah, so I mean, I do think, I mean, you see some, you see, I'm a fine one to judge because I'm a perfect shape, I'm perfectly round, but there were some bigger people and people you wouldn't see going to do a 100-kilometer race
right.
in that mix, which was amazing, and because of the fact that you know you're not out there to win. You're just cycling at a good pace, and everyone seems to catch up, and the front oaks stop a little bit so the guys can catch up at the back. I mean, is that the ethos of what your oaks are trying to create in terms of that?
That's the ethos of what you're trying to create, and those shapes that you talk about, e-bikes has opened up the event to people like that. So that's an opportunity that they would not have otherwise.
So were there people on e-bikes?
I would say that probably half the field was on e-bikes.
Okay.
I don't even realize it.
That's okay.
Right.
Okay. Because someone actually said to me about e-bikes. I thought, I didn't actually see any e-bikes out there. Or maybe I just wasn't really looking. Because, you know, you think that some of our is quite flat, but it ain't flat.
It's not flat.
Jeez, you suddenly see this mountain you're going up. I'm going, jeez, that's quite a stiff mountain there.
That's quite right.
It might not be a race, but it's very challenging.
And 100%.
Yeah.
And quite funnily, I saw the guys at lunch. You know, I think by the time you got to lunch at Kapama, the guys were a lot less talkative. At breakfast, it was a lot of banter, a lot of chatter, and people were eager to talk to me at lunchtime. I mean, at breakfast time, and then the next stop. And we got to lunch. By that time, people didn't really want to talk to anybody.
Yeah, when you see them sitting in their chairs, they kind of their legs go.
Yeah.
Floppy, you know.
Yeah, and then when the guys say, okay, it's time to go, they're like, oh, serious, it's time to go.
That's right.
So, you know, I think, you know, it was really great to see. And I was with the group number four when we got to lunch. And the other group, they got there a little bit later. So the other three groups were sort of quite close to each other. They had gone, so it was just them left. And, I mean, I must say, the chatter amongst everybody was just that, that friendship, and you know, it was just a really, you know, people had obviously know each other quite well in, you know, in terms of it.
But you know, they were held up. It was a lion, or was it the buffalo at that particular point?
Well, we were held up by lions for the longest.
For the longest. Mm. So that's why the two pelotons concertinaed a bit. But yeah, great excitement for
yeah
the
designers. So I loved the lion sighting in Kapama. When we got the lion in Kapama, there was this big story of how we need to get past the line, and that the Kapama vehicle was going to pass, and then the bikes to go around the side, and then we were on the back, obviously a guy in the front of the rifle, and then one of the guys from the Town Watch vehicle jumped up on the back with a rifle. And as we went past the line, the female line got up. Yes. But they actually stop and take pictures. They're all stopping, and everyone's going like, "Go, go, go!" And everyone's like taking pictures, like, "Oh, this is what I want to get."
Well, it doesn't often happen, does it?
I loved it. Like everyone's like cycling past, and then there was also at one stage before we got to the line. I don't know if it was with you in your group, but they actually missed, because they were told the lines were just over the bridge. They missed the bridge completely, and they went up the steep hill to the top, and then realized they'd actually gone the wrong way because no one was concentrating. Everyone was just cycling, so it was really good to see. So, in terms of 2025, I would imagine you don't make too many changes in terms of the event that you currently have.
Well, we have a post mortem after every event, and we've just had a post mortem with our own team, and we've had a post mortem with the reserves.
Yeah,
and then whatever suggestions and improvements we make going forward in the following year.
So were there any big problems in 2024 that you'll try and negate in 2025?
No, there didn't appear to be major problems. One suggestion was that the photographers have a guide from each of the reserves, and they will provide a guide for the photographers, which was great suggestion. And then the other suggestion is that we expand the 100 participants. They wanted huge numbers, and we said, "Well, hang on, give us a chance. Let's grow it slowly." And the reserves are really supportive, and I think that's going to be wonderful for next year.
Sure. Yeah, I would have thought that 100 would be quite the number because it's easy containable. But I suppose we just go more groups. But, you know, I mean, we started at 6 and got in at 5:15. I mean, it was a long day out. I mean, you're a long day. I mean, I was on the back of a bucky for 8 hours. I thought I'd done the race. It's a tiring, it's a grueling race, Dad. I mean, as much as it's not competitive, you are out there in the hot sun and the sand all day.
You know, when it comes down to the actual detail, it's really difficult to coordinate everything. Let me just go back a step. By Sunday morning, we had 40 firm entries for 2025.
Sure.
By Tuesday, we had 106.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
So at the moment, there was a degree of double booking. So at the moment, it stands at a firm 96 with a provisional extra 10, would take the group to 106. So now if you look at what does that mean? If it's going to be roughly the same time of year, the days are short. We had 10-minute spacings between pelotons this year, which makes it difficult at meals because you can't eat in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So if people arrive at a meal, you're going to get a backup of probably at least 3 pelotons at every meal and at the refreshment stations as well. Now you're going to introduce yet another peloton. Like you say, it was a full day. You didn't have too much light when you got back in. And now you've got an extra peloton tacked on to the back. It gets really close.
Yeah.
One of the suggestions was that we add extra riders to each group, and then we don't have to have the additional resources of buckies and backup riders, etc. So that's...
I mean, there were two things that struck me, especially earlier on when we first started riding, was I thought we were on a game drive because the guides in front were telling stories. They were stopping and they're talking about the trees and showing tracks. And I thought, gee, this is amazing, you know. But, you know, that stopped as we went further on and the ride became longer. The other thing that amazed me, which was always a concern if you become too big in terms of groups, was – if someone fell or someone got a stick in their spoke, everyone stopped to help. I mean, there were a couple of people who needed to pump their tires. Everyone stopped. They all helped. They pumped the tires, especially on the girls. The guys get off. You know, you don't want to lose that, because to me, that was, I mean, the two most amazing things I spoke about when I came back to radio was the camaraderie that was there, and number two, that no one was doing it for, no one was trying to win at the end of the day. And I think you've got to be very careful that you don't lose that when you up the numbers.
Yes.
Because that to me was what, and also coming back to, HQ or the end point at the end, where everyone just sat around the fire and everyone just really just bonded together. The bigger that becomes, the more difficult that is.
Yeah, and you know, we work very, very hard at that start to give ambiance and feel before they go, with the fires and the coffee and the muffins or crumpets this year, I think. Mm. And then also at the end to have the fires and the lamps, and it really, it's hard to create, but it really worked this year.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the race. And
Hoods is home.
We're back with Tony and Lovell, and we're talking about the K2C and everything about the K2C. Are there any interesting facts, like how much water was drunk or any of those sort of things that you guys have at your fingertips, or am I putting you on the spot?
No, we don't have any statistics like that. Much of it is beyond us, you know. We wouldn't know how much they went through at the refreshment tables. They were sponsored by various
people.
No, that's one thing that's absolutely fantastic. We were really well supported with sponsors this year. Each of the water holes and the food stations were sponsored.
Yeah, I must say, it's like a five-star treatment in the bush. I mean, that breakfast stop is something to, I mean, you could do that a few times in a year.
Yes.
I mean, we arrive at breakfast, I mean, there's fruit to start and yogurts and all sorts of things, and then you ease into the hot breakfast. Yeah, they did a really good job. I had a great chat to them, too. I had a nice interview with the chair lady or the president of the Hainesburg Rotary Club.
They've been doing it for us for 9 years now.
Sure.
They use it as a club event.
Okay.
I believe people argue, they can only take so many, obviously, to do the breakfast, and then club members argue about who's going to go this year, which is very nice for us.
Do they sleep close by?
They sleep. They've got a
At that camp, there's a place to actually sleep.
Yes.
Because, I mean, they would have had to get up quite early in the morning. I mean, the first group was through there by sort of 7 o'clock. I mean, they would have had to get up quite. So they stay there and then they just get up.
And they spend the Saturday night.
Yeah.
And sometimes they spend the Sunday night. And the reserve is great about allowing them to have a weekend there.
Oh, okay. So it's got a nice club stuff out. Yeah. And then the lunch stop is done by your Rotary, correct?
It's actually done by Christine.
Okay.
As an individual.
Oh, as an individual.
As an individual.
Oh, okay.
Yes. She gets things sponsored by various people. I think people Pick and Pay sponsor rolls. And the sauce, that tomato sauce, was made by the old age home in town. So, I mean, one of our real drives that we have amongst our team is to get as many of the community involved as possible. And this year, I think we did a really good job.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people working, and it was a great stop too. I mean, Christine was pouring juice as fast as she could, fast as she could possibly pour it. The guys were drinking it.
Yes, and also we always have a little bit of Coke for people to have a drink as well that don't drink the juice. But the guys find the Coke and they fill their bottles with it. So.
Great source of energy.
Yeah, great source of energy. So that's something we're going to have to look at next year.
So I obviously was there, and I was with certain groups at any time. Any great stories that had come out of this year that maybe we haven't heard of, or anything? Anything that's worth sharing from a story perspective or a story angle?
Really nothing beyond just great game sightings and close-up game experiences. You know, we encountered lions twice. The second sighting was 19.
Sure. Those are the lions just before the runway.
Just before the runway.
Yeah, which caused that big backup because they were a little bit skittish at the end there.
Yes.
What about the hyenas? That's a lovely story.
Oh, that was at the finish where we were sitting having supper. large hyena arrived and frightened the wits out of some people.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they would have smelt the spits going. Indeed. They would have been, okay, it's payday.
And the next day when we arrived to clean up, because Mike and I actually stayed in the camp, they were all up quite early. When I arrived, everything is cleared away from the hyenas and things, but there were some plastic mugs, and the toilets and the showers are obviously in that area, and there was plastic all over the place, and I went around collecting it, and I realized that they'd eaten the hosing, which is like swimming pool hosing. I don't know whether it was the loos or the showers, but they'd got stuck into that. And it was all over the place. Little pieces, so they'd had a ball.
Yeah, I know. The hyenas certainly know how to. We played cricket at Skakuza one year, and we were brying at the clubhouse at Skakuza. And when you looked into the bush, you shone your torch, it was just eyes.
Eyes.
They smell the braai fire, and they want. And yeah. The guy called Gus Mills, I don't know if you've ever heard, he's like the leading fundy on Wild Dog and Hyena. And we were cooking fillets, and we were saying, come on, man, give them some fillets. We were saying, I love hyena, but fillets just too good for the hyenas. So it was like this, I think they smell that smell, and you obviously had those spits going.
I was
going
to say, that's what they were after.
They were after, yeah. I mean, it would have been quite funny if the hyenas had eaten everyone's dinner. Is there anybody you would like to, while we're on air, like to thank from a sponsorship perspective who really went the extra mile, or any other sponsors for that matter?
Well, let's talk about the partners that we have. I think that the NG Kerk did a great job of
the night before.
I think that registration dinner and their preparation, the way they'd done their hall, was magnificent. That was a great start.
They also do it as a church project, which I think really ties in with our ethos, and they enjoyed it. And I mean, they were saying to us, we want to do it for you next year, which was great. And I think they produced very nice food as well, and it was all very well organized.
I suppose it's quite nice having that opening function this side of town, because I mean, everyone's pretty much staying here.
Yes.
I did see a lot of people coming into the estate afterwards with bikes at the back, so right. I think a lot of people are using this as a base, because I would imagine that most of the guys are from out of town.
Almost everybody.
Okay. I was going to say virtually everyone. Yeah. We used to, in the early days, have quite a few local people, but now they're definitely all.
I saw quite a lot. I mean, I had breakfast with Tony and a group of guys that he was in his platoon or peloton, who a lot of them from Durban. I did see a lot of people from Durban, KZN type of thing. So NG Kerk, anyone else you would like to mention?
I think the Johara guys, they help us every year with guiding people in, because it's dark when they arrive, and we do that at the Timbavati hangar.
Yeah.
And then they have to come round the hangar, and the road isn't that easy to find, and they're fantastic. And then they help us. We're a club short of strong, heavy men. So the Johara guys help us with moving the hay bales and all the packing up and unpacking. And they came on the Sunday morning and helped us pack.
And the Thursday before the event.
And the hay bales were loaned, they were lucerne bales, loaned to us by Raptors View. It's the feed for the animals. And so that had to go back on Sunday morning. And then our start and finish was... they changed their names. I'll think of it in a minute.
And I also thought the two drink stops, Moana, I think, were the one, which is the last one, and then the Timbavati as the Thorny Bush collection as a whole.
Yes,
I thought those guys went to a lot of trouble. I mean, they didn't just put out bits; they put a bit of thought behind it.
I wanted to come to them. I think we have a lot to thank them for, and maybe we need to challenge ourselves. Is there a bigger role for them to play in the future?
They're wanting a bigger role.
Yes, and I think that we could incorporate it.
100%.
You know, we have to challenge ourselves to keep finding improvements. Mike Henderson, Lavelle's husband, has said all along, every event paves the way for the one after and the one that follows. So you've got to keep building. And when you find the right partners and you can work together with them, to mutual benefit, then you're really on a winning track.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, I mean, they'd really thought about like peanut butter, cupcake-y yes. things. They hadn't just gone, you know, here's some sweet stuff or here's a banana and a peach or a pear. They thought about things that riders would need, like a peanut butter. I mean, they had a peanut butter cluster thing that was absolutely
magnificent.
Delicious. I mean, the likes were grabbing them by the handful. I mean, so there was a lot of thought that went into yes. it. And that's what I was saying. I felt that, you know, even those lodges who were just a water stop actually put a lot of effort into what they were
really
up to.
They really do. But and also to be able to make sure that there are different things at every stop, that not everybody's duplicating. You know, you don't get a hamburger every stop. We have different things the night
I really thought they went to a lot of trouble to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
We found those people you're looking for.
You know,
no, okay, don't worry.
I will find it.
We will find it. So, 2025...
Are you thinking about Tiamat?
Tiamat, yes. Tiamat loaned us that...
The finish.
Finish, and they did the finish water stop as well.
Yeah, so I must say one of those moments I will remember for a long time was that finish, that long runway, and what had happened was I was meant to go with each group, but by the time I got to group four, group five was so far behind I decided just to stay with group four, and the crew in group four, when they hit the runway, they all stayed back. And they all rode together. One row of all the crew. They didn't have the 2X in the front and the 3X at the back. They all rode together in this long line with the sun setting in the back. It was magnificent. I got a picture of it. I actually must share the pictures because I also took quite a lot of pictures from the back. But that to me was like, that picture is like, that's what it's all about.
Yes.
You know, that was just, and they, I mean, they were crew. I mean, they were working all day. And I mean, this crew, I must admit, those guys put a lot of effort in. They fixing tires and changing stuff and helping people. So, I mean, that to me was just amazing.
And they're absolutely invaluable to us.
Yeah.
But the start, of course, we have the horn, which is a tradition now, and that gets blown as each peloton goes. And then this year we introduced the Southern Cross drummers, which was very nice. That really made a nice
That went down well. We got a lot of comments about that from riders.
Yeah, I think, again, with that finish, with the sun setting, I mean, most of the groups are finishing with that finish. And the sun setting over the back, you've got the drumming going, you've got the fires going, and such a South African type of finish.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It doesn't get any better.
And
than
the
that.
Drink's waiting.
And the drink's waiting. Ice cold draft.
You said it. It doesn't get much better.
Doesn't
than
get
that.
Any better. You know?
Really?
And, you know, Lovell had me going, you need to interview this. I said, I'm not interviewing anyone. I'm going to have a cold draft.
Good for you.
Before I do anything. I'm going to have that ice cold draft, and then I'm going to, then I'll talk to anybody. And, I actually sat down with Christine and had a long chat to her right at the end, and she was also very grateful. I think it was, you know, I think it's just a well-run event all around.
And, you know, when you walk around, all you see are smiles.
Yeah.
There wasn't a grumpy face to be seen.
No, and I mean, it's a grueling race. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, as much as it ain't a race, it's grueling. It's up and down. And,
yes.
There was some, I don't know if it's always like that. I know the guys, some of the guys were moaning that some of the places were heavy sand. And you see those guys go, they just stop. I mean, there's just no way they can go.
That's right.
You know, you just stop, and then you have to push up. And then the lovely lady from Rotary, Vilna, she was in the fourth group. She was great. But she battled in the end, and there was something wrong with her tire. Her back tire looked like that Stanford van line.
Tell you the story
about
that.
Oh, yeah.
Her bicycle frame broke.
Was the bicycle frame that broke?
No, the frame broke, and she kept going.
She kept saying, I feel funny. Something's wrong.
Well,
then they pumped the tires, and I could see from the back the tires were running like this. They weren't running in a straight line.
It was all over the
They were all over the show. And then they stopped and looked, but she kept going. I mean, she didn't stop. But she battled in that sand. When she hit the sand, she just stopped, you know. And then there was one corner where she came around, and I think she was just going so slowly, she just fell over in the middle of the road. But, you know, the guys do that. I'm going to ask you to stay a few more minutes. I'm just going to take news, and then we'll come in and wrap it up if you're not in a hurry to disappear. It is coming up to 4 o'clock, and we're going to take news now, and then after news we'll just wrap it. Hey, we're back with Tony and Lovell again, having a big chat. Yeah, there was a question on air about my any recommendations that I might have. I wouldn't say too much recommendations. I think my biggest problem on the day was not knowing what to expect. Number one, and I found myself needing major amount of water, and I should have brought water with me. So I did see people who had done it before were quite well prepared, but I didn't bring water with
me. There is water on the truck,
sir. Yeah, but it's at 40 degrees. You could boil water or you could boil a kettle with it. So I think some of the people who may be helping and people doing stuff like we doing a little bit of a role, like, yeah, guys, you're going to be in the hot sun all day, bring some water, those sort of things. I thought from a race perspective, it was great. I couldn't fault you guys on absolutely anything. I thought it was well run. I didn't see anything that should have been done or could have been done any differently. Other than me, my selfishness was water. I was desperate for water.
Right.
And being out in that heat all day from 6:15, yes, you get to stop and you drink some water or you have a coffee or you have a glass of Coke, but then you 2.5 hours until the next stop where everyone seems to be drinking water. That was, to me, the only thing.
Okay.
But other than that, I think it was great. I also thought, and again, thinking it from my side, standing on the back of a vehicle, so it might be relevant, because I think all of you guys have Garmins and you know how far you're going, but you don't know how far you are and how far you are to the next space. So, you know, you're not quite sure, so you're going, okay, but you're probably riding at, I don't know, 20 k's an hour, 15 k's an hour. But I suppose you guys all got Garmins, but it'd be quite nice to every now and again have a board that says, you know, you've done so many kilometers. You know, you're so many kilometers into the race. I don't know. I suppose in today's modern technology, that's probably a no-no.
I think that you'll find from the reserves point of view, it'll be a no-no.
Yeah, because they don't want anything
they
up.
They don't want signs or anything up. You know, to be able to make those little line markings on the road is quite a big ask.
Yeah.
You clear that away straight away the same day.
But the rule of thumb is really 23 kilometers to breakfast, and every 20 kilometers after that would be
okay.
Refreshment table, lunch, refreshment table, finish.
Yeah, and the riders get that information.
And what sort of average speed are you guys doing?
In the region of 14.5 kilometers an hour.
Okay. So, yeah, as again, with me on the back of the truck going, it's a long day out here that felt like from the last stop to the end felt like forever.
Right.
So, and it gets hot as well.
Yeah, you're hot and you're going, okay, another 2 hours at least out here, and it's another 20 Ks. And then it felt like we had been going for a long time, and then someone actually asked, and they said, no, we still got 8 Ks to go. And it was like, serious, 8 Ks. You could see HQ in the background, you know, but then you go up and then you come back. And so I think, but other than that, I think, I mean, I don't think you guys can be faulted in any way. I mean, it's such a great event. And it happens. You know, there was nothing, no one didn't know what was happening or where to go. And I think that's a great thing about it.
When we organize it, we have a project plan by month for the whole thing. And Mike, my husband, is the person behind that. And then there come to times when you think it's not going to come together. And everybody panics a little bit. And then towards the end, you see it all coming together, and everybody knows, as you say, exactly what they're going to do. From the person who lights the fires in the morning, from the, you know, the urns being filled for the tea, everything is spot on.
Cool. I think you had a group of sponsors you wanted to perhaps just rattle off.
We mustn't forget the Timbavati, Thornybush and Kapama, who are really huge supporters of. We couldn't do the if we didn't have the venue to ride through, so that we really thank them for that, and we really appreciate that. And then I did mention Tiomart, who gave us the finish and the start and the finish. And then there's Timbavati Collection and Mulwani, who do
the two refreshment stations.
Two refreshment stations. I think that we didn't mention the others. I think we've actually mentioned. I hope we've mentioned them all. Please forgive me if I haven't.
Yeah, disclaimer, we didn't leave anyone out on purpose. So in terms of money raised, that was a question I asked off air, and they will let us know how much is raised just before when they hand all that money out. They'll let us know, and we can report back on that.
And we'll also advise who the various charities are that get
the beneficiaries
in terms of the money. For each year. Yeah.
Fantastic. Lovell and Tony, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for allowing HFM to be part of it.
Absolutely.
Once this is finished, we will obviously do a full podcast of this one, but we are also doing a podcast with some interviews and some stuff we've done. We'll get that through to you guys before we do it. But thanks for coming in again. Yeah. And a great initiative. Well done. And keep it up. I look forward to next year.
Yep.
I might not spend 8 hours on the back of a bucky, but I'll be there.
8 hours in the saddle, perhaps?
Yeah. Maybe an e-bike, eh? I still think an e-bike. If I have to feel that e-bikes is a tough race, eh? We're going to play some music as we let Tony, and I will leave it. Tony's got a great sense of humor. He thinks me on a bike for 100 kilometers.